Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Shimp speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast. I hope that you're following us at our website, www.gncm.ca. That's short for Good News Christian Ministries, where you'll find all kinds of great things, including ways to give to our worthwhile ministry. And on that note, I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's broadcast, namely Thomas A. Pegg Plumbing and Heating. A special thank you to this organization who has made today's show possible. Well, friends, today I'm addressing an important topic, one that I'm asked often, and that is, how should we pray? How should we pray? Or what should we pray? What should we pray? Today I'm going to introduce what I would call dangerous prayers. Dangerous prayers. And I'm borrowing some of this material from a great pastor down south in America named Craig Groeschel. I need to give him credit. But I would argue that our prayers are often too small and too self-interested. We pray prayers of self-preservation instead of prayers of God glorification. Think about what you've prayed lately. God, keep me safe. God, fix my sniffles. I have a cold. God, my cat seems blue. Would you cheer her up? God, protect me as I drive. We're very, very interested in praying about our safety. Have you noticed that? And let's be very clear that death is not the worst thing that can happen to us, folks. Rather, a life not handed over to Christ. A life in which we do not fulfill our destiny. These things are worse. C.S. Lewis puts it really well. He says, God isn't so concerned about our happiness as he is about our holiness. His chief concern is that we grow up. So in that vein, I'd like to propose that there are three great yet dangerous prayers that we can pray, namely, search me, break me, and send me. Search me is a prayer of transparency. Break me, a prayer of vulnerability. And send me a prayer of availability. We're going to look at each of these dangerous prayers, one after the other, following this classic song by Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. It's called The Prayer.
Guide us with your grace to a place. cime.
When stars go out each night.
Eterna stella sei. Nella mia preghiera.
Let this be our prayer.
Quanta fede c'è.
Faith so we'll be saved.
Sogniamo un mondo senza più violenza, un mondo di giustizia e di speranza.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We're learning today how we should pray or what we should pray. We're looking at dangerous prayers, prayers that take us out of our comfort zone, prayers that stretch us, prayers that honor God. And we're going to look at three in particular. Search me, which is all about transparency. Break me, which is about vulnerability. And send me, which is about availability. Let's start with search me. David says a bold and dangerous prayer in Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Here it is. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Friends, I want to suggest that this is where we should start in our prayers to God. Search me, God, says verse 23. Search me, God. Now, let's be very clear that God has already searched us. You can see that in verses 1 through 4 of the same psalm. Verse 1 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." It goes on to say, "Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely." So God has already searched us, but yet we pray, like David, that God would search us. And this is really us aligning with reality, the reality that God is searching us. It's us giving God permission to expose us. I like how the Message translates Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Investigate my life, God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me and get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong and then guide me on the road to eternal life. So it's giving God carte blanche, full permission to investigate us. That's very bold and dangerous, because God is prone to find a thing or two. Now, verse 23 goes on to say, "Know my heart." Why does David say that in verse 23? "Know my heart." Well, Martin Luther gives us a hint. He says, "Grant that I may not pray with my mouth alone. Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." Luther is pointing out that our prayers flow from the condition of our heart. And yet, let's be crystal clear, friends, that our heart, in the words of Jeremiah 17:9, is deceitful above all things. That's right. Let me say it again. The heart is deceitful above all things. And that's why we need to ask God to search us and know our heart. So many of us say, "I have a good heart. I meant well. I've got good motives." Jeremiah 17 is basically saying we are all actually liars. And the most common lie we tell is to ourselves. We say things like, "I'm not full of pride. I just can't help it if I'm better than everyone else." Or, "I don't lust. I just appreciate a fine physique." How about this one? I'm not materialistic at all. No, no, no. "I just appreciate the finer things in life." Or this one. "I'm not a gossip. I'm just giving you information so that you can pray for her." Friends, we need God to examine our hearts. It is crucial that we pray from a truthful heart. Because as Matthew 6 says in verse 21, "Where your heart is, there your treasure is also." And in Proverbs 4:23, it cautions, "Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life." All right, moving on to verse 23, David says, "Know my anxious thoughts." Why does he say this? "Know my anxious thoughts." Well, friends, here's the question. What is it that eternally makes you afraid? Are you afraid of losing your job? Afraid of not getting married? Afraid of failing? Afraid of loss? And why does this matter? Because, and catch this, what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. Let me say that again. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. So if I'm afraid and anxious that I'll lose my job, then I don't trust that God will supply all my needs. And if I'm afraid I'll never get married, then I'm anxious and I don't trust that God is ultimately my bridegroom. And so we need to ask God what we are anxious about, because it is crucial that we are led by faith and not fear. We must love pleasing Him more than we fear failing. All right, moving on to verse 24, David then says, "See if there is any offensive way in me." He's basically saying, "Uncover my sins and show me anything in my life that is inconsistent with your truth." It's really hard to see our own sins in the mirror, isn't it, friends? And we tend to accuse others and excuse ourselves. And what's really fascinating is David says, "See if there is any offensive way in me." How often do we actually pray to God about the person who offends us? We're always praying about other people who offend us. What if actually we were offensive to people? Let's be honest, we get offended. We're offended about the preacher who didn't wear a suit and tie. We're offended about the leader who didn't give us thanks. And we're offended that the friend of ours didn't reply to our email. But David's turning this on its head and it's saying, how might we be offensive either to others or God? And that's what Jesus himself was getting at in Matthew 7. When he said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own?" All right, that wraps up our first dangerous prayer. It's a prayer of transparency, asking God to search us. And it's a dangerous, bold one because he will reveal to you, to sanctify you, the ways in which you fall short. We're now going to pause to listen to a song by Carolyn Ahrens entitled Willing. And in this song, she's actually making a prayer. She's saying, I'm not really willing, but Lord, I am willing to be willing. And friends, maybe that's a starting place for you.
You want the best for me, but I don't wanna take it. Today the best just seems to cost too much. I know to mend a heart sometimes you have to break it. But I don't have the strength to choose that love. But I am willing to be willing. I am ready to be moved. And I am longing for the longing that pulls me close to that I am filled is at your table. Still I starve myself day after day. I cannot choose your will unless you make me able. That's why you say you are the only way. So I am guards away to keep my heart. I'm making space for you, a place to
welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at how should we pray? We're looking at dangerous prayers, big prayers, audacious prayers, because we're praying to a big God. We just looked at the prayer that God would search us, which is a prayer of transparency. Now we're looking at a prayer that God would break us, which is a prayer of vulnerability. Here I want us to look briefly at Matthew 26. I want us to see how ultimately our lives should be all about a breaking and a pouring out. In Matthew 26, we see in verse 6, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy, and while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume, broke it, and poured it over his head. She broke it, and then she poured it out. Well, just a few verses down, in the same chapter, Matthew 26, we see at the Last Supper the same process. We see Jesus saying, in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." He broke it, and then he was poured out, his blood poured out on the cross. Another example of being broken and poured out. And in Luke 22, when Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you," he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Some scholars think that "do this in remembrance of me" doesn't just mean take communion or the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. It actually means allow your lives to be broken and poured out as well. Why would we ask God to break us, which is a prayer of vulnerability? Well, it's because we're blessed when we're at the end of our rope. With less of us, friends, there can finally be more of God. And that's why Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 that three times he begged the Lord to take away a thorn in his flesh. But each time the Lord said, "My grace is all you need because my power works best in weakness." Paul goes on to say, "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses or about my brokenness, so that the power of Christ can work through me." Friends, we ask God to break us so that we can be weak, that he might be made strong. We ask that we may be broken so that he can remake us, break us so that we will depend utterly and entirely upon him. And this is a very bold and dangerous prayer. Be careful, because it will be answered. And you will be broken one way or another in this life. Life has a way of beating us up. Life is a tough place. But what you're doing with this prayer is giving God permission that his hand be the one to break you. And that's the hand you want to break you. For that same hand will lovingly restore you, equip you, sustain you, and empower you. It's very different than when Satan breaks us. When Satan breaks us, we know that he seeks to steal, destroy, and kill. He knocks us down in the hopes that we would be killed. But Christ brings life abundant. So when he breaks us, it's to remake us. All right, the last dangerous prayer is "send us." Send us. And this is a prayer of availability. A prayer of availability. And here I want us to look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 8, we hear this. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" A dangerous prayer to pray, and I dare you, I double dare you to pray it, is "God send us, God send me." You see, so often we think that God serves our needs, and so we pray for things like a spouse, a car, a job, a home, a cat. Actually, we serve God. And so we don't say, "God, what can you do for me?" We say, "God, what can I do for you?" And I tell you, friends, that God will call those who know him to go. Go and serve him. And there are three possible responses to God's call. We just looked at Isaiah, who said, "Here am I, send me." But Jonah gave a different answer. He said, "Here I am, but I'm not going." So he was prompted to do something by God, but he didn't do it. Moses said, "Here am I, but send someone else." He said, "Who am I that I should go? I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not the right person." I dare you, I double dare you to pray like Isaiah, who said, "Here I am, send me." Now, listen carefully to what Isaiah didn't say. He didn't say, "Here I am, but what's the temperature of the city you want to send me to? Here I am, what's the salary package of the job?" Here I am. What's the vacation package? No, he had no strings attached. It was a blank check. Here I am. Send me. Now, how did Isaiah get to the place where he said, here am I, send me, no strings attached? And how can we pray the same prayer? Well, it would be useful to point out or acknowledge that before Isaiah said, here am I, send me, he spent some time in the presence of God. We see that in the opening verses of chapter 6. He was aware of God's awesome holy presence, so he worshiped the Lord. And he was overcome, and he saw angels, seraphim, calling out, holy, holy is the Lord. But I also want to point out that he had an awareness not only of God's presence, but he had an awareness of his sinfulness. That happened in verse 4 and 5. He said, woe am I, it's all over, I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. And he said, I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Before Isaiah could say, here am I, send me, friends, he first was aware of God's awesome holiness, and he was aware of his sinfulness. Where am I going with this? Well, that's why we started today's broadcast with the prayer, search me. Before God can send me, he first must search me and reveal my sinfulness. And here's the good news. In this passage of Isaiah 6, verse 6, one of the seraphim flew with a burning coal and touched Isaiah's lips and said, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Friends, likewise for us, if we allow God to search us and to reveal our sinfulness, our guilt is removed through the blood of Christ. And we are ready to be sent. So, in closing, I dare you, I double dare you, to pray this coming week, one, two, or all three of these prayers. Search me, Lord, which is a prayer of transparency. Break me, Lord, which is a prayer of vulnerability. And lastly, send me, Lord, which is a prayer of utter availability. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you're a big God. And no prayer can be too big for you. Nothing is impossible with you. And we ask that you will hear us when we pray. I pray for the listeners today that they would dare to pray big. That they would dare to ask you to search them. That they would dare to ask that you break them so that their heart beats for what your heart beats for. And then I pray for the listeners that they would dare to pray that you would send them. And for the listener who knows that you're calling to send them, I pray that they wouldn't say, here am I, send someone else, or here am I, I'm not going. I pray that today would be the day that they would decide once and for all, here am I, send me. Lord, just comfort and encourage our listeners today that you hear our prayers and are faithful to answer them for our good and ultimately your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.